live from Houston and simulcasting on the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, here we go. It's hour two. The telephone number here is 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. You folks listening worldwide on TNT Radio, you have your own set of numbers to call depending on your geographic location. TNTRadio.live, TNTRadio.live. That's where you can go to check that out. And, of course, always at home on the Rumble and Getter chats. We are broadcasting live there as well. I want to bring on two members of Congress to have some deep and substantive conversations about some of the issues confronting our country and, frankly, how they voted on the debt ceiling deal and why. Congressman Mark Alford is a husband, a father, a former small business owner, and a 25-year veteran news anchor who proudly represents Missouri's 4th Congressional District. And conservative Congressman Pat Fallon represents the 4th Congressional District in the great state of Texas. He's a veteran of the United States Air Force. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Well, Chris, thanks for having us on.
So let's go down the list here. I have a series of questions for the both of you. Congressman Alford, since you were our guest from out of state, let's ask you how you voted on the debt ceiling deal, yes or no, and why?
Well, Chris, I voted no. There was a lot of pressure, I think, on us to vote yes. I think in the end, I think the leadership respected our vote for no. We had good reasons to. From the very beginning, Speaker McCarthy has told me before I took office and after office, we need to vote our district. I listened to the district. We cannot add another $4 trillion worth of debt on the backs of our children and grandchildren. The defense spending in this bill was anemic, 1% in 2025. We scoffed at the president's budget, which pretty much amounted to the same thing. We have to get ready for a potential conflict with China. And we cannot do that by having anemic spending in the defense. And lastly, I think also important, you know, I campaigned on getting rid of this 87,000 IRS agents that the president was going to sic on the American people. $80 billion he wants to, in his budget, to form this army, armed IRS agents in some cases, to go after everyday Americans. I could not stomach that. The deal that was presented to us in this, after we passed Limit, Save, Grow to get rid of them, was only really repealing the first year of hiring these at $1.4 billion. It's not good enough. 4th Congressional District of Missouri said it's not good enough, and I vote for my district.
Amen to that. Congressman Pat Fallon, I know how you voted. It was a no. The leadership of the Republican Party is saying that they've got $2.1 trillion in savings, but that's just not true. It's because there's nothing in the bill that requires that, that mandates Congress trim that money. So isn't it rather disingenuous of Speaker McCarthy to go around saying that there's $2.1 trillion worth of savings in there when there isn't?
Well, Chris, I didn't vote no. I voted hell no. So as my good friend Mark, you know, was saying, the reason why I couldn't really bring myself to vote for it, Chris, was in Limit, Save, Grow, if that had passed the law, which was the bill that we voted on a few weeks back, to responsibly raise the debt ceiling, we would have taken the debt to GDP ratio from what it is now at roughly 118% down to 106%, which is not where you want to land, but it's a very good first step. And that excited me enough to vote for that. Mm-hmm. But we have to acknowledge some realities here. A $32 trillion debt and $400 billion of that, Chris, we are spending every year on the interest to pay the debt. And the Democrats never want to talk about that. They want to say, as Mark and I were hearing, oh, you're going to cut veterans' benefits, and what about Social Security and all this other stuff. Hey, what good could we do with $400 billion? And what, if we could give some of that back to the American taxpayer, because after all, it's their money in the first place. Right. And we're burning that and wasting it right now. So that's why I just, no way, and there's several other reasons we could teach a college, three-credit college course on why I voted no. But the main ones were we weren't addressing the half a trillion dollar illegal, I think unconstitutional and expensive student loan giveaway. Work yep. requirements for welfare weren't nearly strong enough. We wanted the RAINS Act, and for your listeners, the RAINS Act would force and compel Congress to approve new regulations by
Thank
federal
you.
Bureaucrats.
Thank
that was
you.
A great idea. You know, and as Mark so adroitly pointed out, defense spending, when you're not keeping up with inflation year over year, that's an effective defense spending cut, and it makes our military weaker right in the middle of a recruiting crisis that the Democrats will not talk about and they refuse to address.
Well, gentlemen, I've got to say that one of your points that you guys basically pointed to was the fact that the bill that was voted on by the Republicans and was supported by conservatives that reduced the debt ceiling for 1 year so that the presidential candidates could debate this too, at $1.5 trillion increase in the debt ceiling, but trimmed nearly $5 trillion in overspending over 10 years, which was not a cut. And I've got to stress this. It wasn't a cut. It was a reduction in the rate of spending. There were no cuts whatsoever proposed by the Republicans. It was a step, as you guys said, in the right direction. Now, I got to ask you both, how do you feel now that your leadership in the Republican Party now has made you co-owners of the economic calamity? Because now we are saddled with Joe Biden's unacceptably high spending for next year. And then he was rewarded by House Republicans by a 1% increase the next year. So it was already unacceptably high. And he got rewarded for sitting on his duff for 90 days and doing nothing by your leadership. Congressman Alford, how do you feel having your leadership now, having you co-owners of a recession that is likely going to hit us, high interest rate that's going to hit us, and more economic calamity that's going to hit us because of these stupid fiscal policies?
Well, look, I still have confidence in Kevin McCarthy. I stood up 15 times. I was the third vote by voice vote in January, and I yelled out his full name, Kevin McCarthy. I believe in Kevin McCarthy. I think he and Garrett Graves, Patrick McHenry should be applauded for the efforts. The problem was the President of the United States dragged his heels. Of course, he stumbled over a sandbag or his own feet yesterday, but during this 4 month period, he dragged his heels. This is what I am sick of, and I am a freshman there. Pat's been dealing it longer than I have, but I've seen it when I was in the news. These Democrats want to obfuscate, gaslight, delay until they get us in a corner. They did that last year with the omnibus bill and made us swallow the poison. And I'd be damned if I'm going to be a part of that. And that's one of the reasons I voted no. I'm not going to be backed in the corner, and I'm not voting out of fear.
Well, I got to say, gentlemen, I supported Kevin McCarthy's efforts. That bill that he passed and got passed was a good step in the right direction. And I had high hopes that the speaker was at least going to get some reductions in the rate of spending, but he got zero. So, Congressman Fallon, I'm going to ask you the same. Now the Democrats will be able to credibly say, because it was they who rescued this bill, along with Republicans who voted yes for it, they will be able to say, hey, everything that happens, we're co-owners because the Republicans signed on to us with this vacuous, irresponsible spending. How does that make you feel, sir?
Well, you know, because many of my constituents, Chris, have said, you know, what did Kevin McCarthy do? Kevin McCarthy this. Well, if you want to place some blame, I think we should place it where it belongs, which is, I'll give you a list of names. Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Hakeem Jeffries, and all the damn Democrats that won't acknowledge the fact that we've got a fiscal Armageddon and calamity awaiting us, and we keep kicking the damn can down the road. I really believe that we're better off now. If we didn't raise the debt ceiling, we don't have to default. We take in roughly $350 billion a month, and the debt payments are about a little over $30 billion. So we should just pay that first, second military, third transportation, and go on down the line until what's going to be left out. They're pandering the money that they pander. They use for pandering to get for votes for the next election. And that's what we really need to focus on. And, you know, listen, Chris, to be fair, though, he's got a narrow majority in the House.
Yeah.
We don't own the Senate. We don't own the White House. And I think everybody, whether they voted for or against it, wanted a better deal. For me and for Mark and for 69 other Republicans, we just couldn't stomach this one, and we wanted an even better one. And well, just couldn't vote yet.
As a conservative, guys, I can just tell you that the people out here see when the Democrats are in the minority, they're still running the show. They would never have accepted. They would have gotten something out of this deal. And frankly, those who understand the threat of crippling debt got nothing out of this deal. And that's just the truth, no matter what the spin is. And we know when we're being spun. And that's precisely what's happening. Look, by the way, Congressman, just so you both know, and at the end of 22, fourth quarter 2022, the interest payment on the debt was $251 billion. That's in one quarter because of rising interest rates and the ever increasing principal. So that means we are quickly getting toward having $1 trillion in interest alone on the debt. That's how bad it is with these rising interest rates and this ever growing principal. And that's why it's a big threat. I want to graduate on, if we can, guys, to the FBI. As you know, Christopher Wray, because he's empowered to, the Republicans and the Democrats colluded in this debt ceiling deal to give a raise, to DOJ, to give a raise to FBI, the very same DOJ and FBI who are targeting your party for destruction, who are illegally prosecuting your party, basically letting Hillary Clinton off the hook when we had evidence that she did something wrong. They let her off the hook. But as the Durham report revealed, prosecuting President Trump with this crossfire hurricane investigation with zero, no evidence. So the Republicans said, hey, what a great thing. Let's reward the DOJ and the FBI with giving them increased money. So now Christopher Wray, FBI, says, hey, I don't have to listen to what Congress says. They're going to give me money no matter what the hell I do. So he's telling your colleague, James Comer, no, I'm not going to turn over this document to you. And I ask you, Congressman Alford, the FBI, should the Republicans have agreed to give a raise to the FBI when they are clearly targeting you as a Republican and your constituents?
Not at all. We should not be giving the FBI any more money until we get some answers as to why they were in bed with this whole scheme to support Hillary Clinton and go against President Trump. Comer needs to have access to those documents, not just in the SCIF, where they want him to come down to the FBI headquarters. We need to get this out. I know we need to protect sources. I'm all for that. We do not need to defund federal law enforcement, but we need to rein them in. That is the job of Congress. That is the power of the purse. And until we stand strong as a party and as a nation on this, we're going to continue to go down this road where our law enforcement, federal law enforcement, will not be respected. If we don't have respect for this institution, the Department of Justice, we are lost as a nation.
Amen. Amen. Congressman Fallon, we've been down this road several times in our past where these rogue agencies believe they run the show and not our elected representatives. But we've never had a Democrat party that is so committed to implementing Marxism and socialism. And they worked very, very hard to infiltrate these agencies and compromise them. My opinion is the FBI and the DOJ need to be torn down and built back up with these safeguards for our rights reinstituted. What say you?
Mark, the FBI and the Democrats are absolutely in bed. And the problem is they're still smoking. You know, I mean, they're both whipping out Marlboro. It's a two-tier justice system. And the weaponization of the DOJ, the justice is not blind in this country. And we see that over and over. And that's why on the Oversight Committee, mm-hmm. we are committed to going where the evidence leads us vis-a-vis the Biden crime family. And everything that we have found, just circumstantially, listen, we had a derelict human being, Hunter Biden, who smoked crack and,
Just stop it right there. That's his lasting contribution to American society. He smoked crack. But go ahead, continue, Congressman.
And you know, he frequented prostitutes. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, he becomes a multi-millionaire international businessman. What changed in his life? Oh, that's right, his daddy became vice president. To date, we know that he's gotten $10 million from foreign nationals. And we can't figure out, nobody can, even in fact, the Democrats can't tell you and articulate to you what the family does. What good do they sell? What service do they provide? Why so many shell companies? Why, when they get paid, does a foreign national create a shell company, give the money to that shell company, then to another one, then to one of the Biden associate shell companies, and then to another shell, and then they kick it out to the Biden. Why did the Biden family form 20 LLCs? Why do they pocket seed money? Well, you know, in 2019, why did Joe Biden lie to the American people and say, I don't know what Hunter does. I've never met any of his business associates. He built that firewall. No, we didn't. He did. And why has that family generated, their activities generated 170 suspicious activity reports, which is something that the financial institutions by law have to create when they suspect fraud, money laundering, sexual trafficking, things of that nature. And if they have done nothing wrong, come clean. Just say, hell, look at all my bank records. I haven't done a damn thing wrong. Mark Alford had done a damn thing wrong. Pat Fallon hasn't. So if you ever accuse us of something, and we get accused of garbage from the far woke left, I say, horse hockey, here, you can look at my record. The Bidens haven't done that. They've done everything, and they've dragged their feet consistently. They are dirty, but we go where the evidence leads us, unlike them just making things up.
And covered up by the FBI and covered up by the biased press. Folks, we're having a conversation with two members of Congress, Mark Alford and Pat Fallon. Now, look, guys, the last series of questions, and Congressman Alford, I'm going to leave it up to you because I'm not sure how much you've been following what's happening here in the great state of Texas with the impeachment of our conservative attorney general by a bunch of turncoats in the Texas House who dare call themselves Republicans, but really they gear themselves toward delivering for Democrats. And if you don't feel comfortable talking about that, I do want to speak to you about you being a veteran journalist, because I used to be on the anchor desk myself before I got into opinion. So I'm going to leave it up to you. Do you want to talk about Paxton, or do you want to talk about the state of American media?
I would rather save my bullets for the American media. I am a sixth-generation Texan, by the way. Grew up in Baytown, and I covered the state legislature for many years as a journalist. And I do know what's going on there. But I'd rather leave that up to the expertise of the Texans on the phone right now.
No, that's cool. So let me just ask you this about the state of the press. I have long observed they are not dedicated journalists. They're dedicated Democrats. Their coverage is obviously biased. And the state of journalism, there are only a few people out there that I can actually say are real journalists, meaning they cover the issues and then let the folks make up their minds. The state of the American press, I think, is shameful and disgusting. And these people who make their living off of the First Amendment to put out and be the voices of the people rather than... this is the question. Don't you think the American press has turned itself into the PR representatives for the extremist left wing rather than being fair arbiters who call balls and strikes?
I totally agree with you, unfortunately. I grew up, I wanted to be a journalist, a TV anchor, news reporter since I was in fifth grade. Everything I did was geared towards that. I got into the business, went to the University of Texas, got my first internship at the ABC affiliate there in Austin, was on the air as a junior, had been in for 35 years. And about 10 years ago, I read a book, maybe 15 years ago, from Bernard Goldberg.
I know. Bias. I love it. I read that. I read that book.
I thought, this is what's wrong. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. As a lifelong conservative, like, what is going on? Because we would have scripts come across our news desk, and I would read them, and I'm like, this is not the complete story. And the older I got, the more context, perspective I had on things and information that our younger producers, who I don't think a lot of cases these younger producers necessarily are biased so much as just ignorant. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. They have a lack of knowledge.
Yep.
But that does skew you. And in journalism school, they teach you, it is your job to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. That is not a journalist. That is a social worker. Our journalists should not be social workers. They should not be taking sides. It's the job of a journalist to tell the truth, no matter where it lies, remove your bias, and just tell the facts. We have lost that in America. We have lost the ability as Americans to determine what is editorial content and what is news content. I think that's part of the problem. We've got to get back, and it's going to be worse now with the AI coming in.
Yes.
It's going to replace a lot of journalists. And who's going to run the AI? It's going to be the progressive, liberal, woke community who wants to destroy our nation, who wants to drive us towards communism and Marxism.
Amen.
And it is we better wake up now.
Folks, the name of the book is called, it's Bernie Goldberg, it's Bias. If you want to know the traitorous, treasonous nature of the American press, read Bias, and you'll understand where it all comes from. Now, Bernie doesn't, I think things have changed since he wrote the book, because now you've got committed leftists, committed Marxists, who are populating many of these newsrooms around the country. But it will give you an insight to the foundations in which the infiltration of America's newsrooms was built. So, Congressman Fallon, the question to you about the Paxton impeachment, it was so righteous, sir, that they had to do it in secret. It was so above board that they couldn't allow the accused to speak in his own defense. It was so above board, they've actually violated, to my knowledge, a couple of provisions in the Texas Code. With your experience in the Texas State House, what are your thoughts on this impeachment out of nowhere from the Texas House?
Well, Chris, and one quick comment. Bias by Bernie Goldberg was an excellent book written in 2001 and needs to be updated. You know, we need another volume, as you said. But to talk about the impeachment process, we should impeach the impeachment process. There were 20 articles of impeachment. Why weren't there 20 different votes? They were just, you got to take it or leave it. You got to swallow this, you know, this turd, and only 23 Republicans voted no. I guess they two voted present. So 25 people said, no, I don't feel comfortable. Precedent has already been set, and I think it was 1917 and then 1975, that the right of the accused was able to, the accused was able to present their defense, because this isn't a grand jury, although they kind of act like it, but it's not a grand jury. It's the House of Representatives, of which I served in the Texas House of Representatives for 6 years and the Texas Senate for 2 years. So I'm intimately familiar with this. So I have a couple of questions. If the evidence of impropriety and this criminal behavior is so strong, why not simply let the judicial process play out? Why don't they stay in their lane? If the whistleblower's complaints from 3 years ago are so compelling, why hasn't there been any criminal indictments handed down by the feds or state authorities in the last 3 years? So I, you know, encourage the Senate now to do their due diligence. And now they have to act as the juror. So look at this, because nothing new has come out. Based on what we know now of the evidence presented to date, if it's so compelling, why does the legislature have to essentially eat its own? Because let's be honest, Chris, if they let the judicial process play out and Ken Paxton or anyone else was found guilty, then this might be an avenue to exercise. But before that, it's a rush to judgment.
Indeed. And you know what? I think that the Senate ought to look at this as a trial, not only of Ken Paxton on fake charges, but also ought to put that Texas House leadership on trial for their myriad violations of the Texas Code and established norms. And I think that the Texas Senate ought to be doing that. I wish I could get some insight, but everybody over there in the Senate is pretty tight-lipped because they want to remain fair and impartial. Congressman Mark Alford and Congressman Pat Fallon, gentlemen, thank you for your time on the Salcedo Show. Have a great weekend.
God bless you, Chris. Take care. See you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Telephone numbers 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Got to scoot to a break, kids. Be right back. The Chris Salcedo Show on The Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
You should hear what Dirk Pohlman is talking about.
The underwater U-2 incident in 1983 in Sweden. Why there was something happening in Sweden with submarines that were running around everywhere. Hundreds of them were sighted. Everybody believed it were Soviet, and it turns out, in fact, they were not Soviet.
The politics of Sweden at the time was neutrality, some kind of neutrality. And while you had an important elite in Sweden who wanted to have a direct link to the Americans. So that was a kind of divide of Sweden. And it was, from the American point of view, Sweden was extremely important because it was this kind of unsinkable aircraft carrier. You had a lot of air bases that the Americans could use in a war, and some of them were also prepared for receiving American aircraft, while the political Sweden was thinking in terms of keeping Sweden out of the war and trying to have a neutral position that wouldn't threaten directly the Soviet Union at the time. So this was a very strong conflict between the two sides.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, folks, a bit of a quick segment here because I went a little long with the members of Congress. As you could tell, we had an awful lot to talk about. I knew how Congressman Pat Fallon had voted. I didn't know about Congressman Alford, so it was kind of a roll in the dice on my part, but I thought it was going to be a good discussion either way. What you all need to know about the debt deal is it did nothing to reverse the cancerous course this country is on. And you want to know the course we're on? We're on the course toward Greece. We're on the course toward Spain. We're on the course of economic failure. And don't forget that the dollar is under attack right now by communist China. It's under attack right now by Mother Russia and Iran and the other BRICS nations. They want to supplant the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, and they want to substitute it out with the yuan. So you've got feckless and irresponsible politicians from both parties saying, yep, let's just, what did Rush call them? Plastic banana, good time rock and rollers. What the hell? They're all going to be dead by the time our great-grandchildren have to pay the piper on this, or maybe our great-grandchildren, maybe even our grandchildren have to pay the piper on this. It's accelerating that fast. And with rising interest rates, it is a huge, huge problem. And I know I illustrated this earlier in the week, but let me just put a fine point on this again. The reason why both parties were so irresponsible in doing this is that, as I mentioned to the congressman, we have now, we are on course for setting $1 trillion aside every single year just to pay interest on the debt of the $4 to $5 trillion we give the government in taxes. So that's a $1 trillion off the table right away. That cannot be used for anything else. Can't be used for defense. All you left-wingers out there, can't be used for your socialist programs. Can't be used for crap. It goes right to the debt obligation. So that in and of itself should be a motive to both sides, who are voters, who are clear thinking people. We've got to stop this. When your debt is now, what is it? What did he say? 118. Actually, last time I saw it was 125% of GDP. It is our debt is more than the money we bring in now. So we're not treading water anymore, folks. We're getting buried. And you're stupid and silly and vacuous, just like the majority of Congress, both parties, to think that government can continue to do this in perpetuity without any consequences. You can't do it as an individual because of the laws of economics, the basic laws of economics. Our government is constrained by those same laws, even though they're pretending they're not. And that's what you all have to know. And this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. This is we the people versus stupid people in government issue. I'll be right back. The Chris Salcedo Show. If you want to comment on any of this, it's only your future or your children's future. Call 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, the voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
The news.
Right here.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. Australia's most decorated living soldier has been exposed in court as a murderer and a liar after losing an historic defamation case brought against three of the nation's leading newspapers that had accused him of war crimes. The Pentagon has announced it'll cough up the cash that Ukraine needs to cover the cost of Elon Musk's satellite internet services, and it's been revealed the environmental impact from beef that's grown in labs trumps the carbon footprint of traditionally raised meat.
Thanks for listening to us. Now, we want to listen to you. Our lines are open from the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Reflective Spaces Ministry is a nonprofit, trauma-focused healing ministry ranch in Florida. We provide reflective spaces for transformational healing and total restoration in a faith-filled environment for survivors of human trafficking, sexual and domestic violence, and childhood adversity to thrive. Our mission is to empower survivors to start their own transformative journey as they find peace, calm, and serenity on the grounds of our supportive, tranquil ranch. Whether it's from a tree swing to sitting on a bench quietly thinking, Reflective Spaces Ministry can help recapture the carefree life every child should enjoy without the residue of shame, guilt, fear, self-loathing, and regret. Start your healing journey today. Visit ReflectiveSpacesMinistry.com to find out how you can help and get involved. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And when we start talking about these existential threats from massive, unrepayable debt, and I don't mean tuning out of the radio. I'm just saying, how many times have you tried to have a discussion about economics and the dangers our country is in with somebody and they just kind of glaze over, right? I'm curious. I mean, is it just so complicated? It's not really that complicated. It's just, has our government made it so complicated that people just don't want to deal with it? I'm just asking, because, you know, every single time I talk about this, even though folks, this is an existential threat to the United States of America. This is an existential threat to the freedom and prosperity of the future of this country. Everything we're talking about. So that's the reason why I talk about it. But I take a risk every single time I do, because a lot of folks just go, oh, man. And I'm wondering why. Maybe you guys can tell me. 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. What the government is doing to us is dangerous. And notice, the government never takes a haircut. It's always you. It's always we, the people, who have to suffer because government says it never has to. When does government have to suffer the way it's prescribing that we do? That's a question to Republicans and Democrats. Let me get out to Willie. Willie, I am glad you. This is second day in a row you've called. Good morning.
Yeah, I enjoyed your show. You know, me and you bump heads sometimes, but we agree more than what you think if you really get to know me.
No, Chris, I think we have. We agree a lot on things.
Chris, listen to me, man. Listen to me. See, me and you passionate about this. The average person can't fathom what these politicians doing with his debt. Because we in our little world, get our paycheck, put it in the bank, put it in the 401k, it's growing, we think we're doing something. What the politicians did, I'm going to tell you why people are not paying attention. They did a masterful job by using two parties to divide this country, keeping your mind off what's really the key issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People, this debt is the biggest threat to this country. Can you imagine what Chris just said? The interest is going to be $1 trillion. Can you imagine that? This is what I hate, Chris. I hate three people. I'm not using the word hate. Politicians, lawyers, and salesmen. All of them lie. All of them. What we're going to have to do, Chris, I'm willing to do it. And I'm putting you on the spot. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican. If they don't go on record, it's starting with the president, too, the person in the office, the governor, I don't care who they are. If they don't make a commitment, or anytime they want to raise their debt ceiling, the veto or the vote no, we need to kick them out of office. I'm willing to make that commitment right now.
Yeah, you know, I
don't care if they're Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, I think that unless you set this government on a course to spend only what we, the American people, give it, only. And I don't know where the hell they got the idea that they could overspend the way they overspend. I don't know who told them they could. I didn't. I'm not aware of any law that gives them the authority to overspend. They just do it.
Because you know why they're politicians. And let me say this right quick. Let me get on Texas. We overspend in Texas. Why they debating how they going to get our money back? We got
that's
a surplus
that's a
in
great
the state.
Point.
Now they debating on how they going to distribute it back.
That's a
get
great point.
Get my money
point.
Back if I overpaid Texas.
You know how much money he's talking about, folks? $32 billion the people of Texas overpaid to the state government. Overpaid. And now you've got the people in the Texas House who want to keep all of it to use for their pet projects and to line their pockets. You've got the folks in the Senate who have an idea as well to get what I would argue a lion's share of that money back to us. But what Willie's saying is it all should come back to us. Yes?
Oh, we overpaid.
Yep.
They took too much of our money. Our bills in the state was taken care of. Willie, you overpaid this. This is what you get. Chris, you getting this back. You getting this back, such and such. Y'all, that's our money. I want y'all to listen to what I'm saying. They dictating how they're going to give it back.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, they're debating on it. What's the debate
right.
about? Just give it back.
Right. They debating on how they're going to get our money back, man. We don't see no issue with that.
Oh, no, I do. Folks, this was a number one priority for the governor, and I think the lieutenant governor as well, going into this legislative session. And it was, and the House leadership failed again to deliver it. And that's, by the way, Willie, bipartisan, that's an alleged Republican-controlled House. Charlie Guerin failed. Dade Phelan failed. Those are alleged Republicans. Thanks, Willie. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
And by the way, folks, Willie and I sometimes butt heads, as he said, but on this one, we're in agreement. Unless and until we get this debt ceiling or this debt under control, it is an existential threat. And that means those who are overspending are a threat to this country. That means elected leaders in the Congress are a threat to the United States. The man sitting in the Oval Office is a threat to the United States. The alphabet agencies that are spending like there's no tomorrow. And before I take my next call, let me just let you know how this works. Let's say it's the IRS. The IRS goes through one fiscal year, and let's just say they were allocated, just to keep the math simple, they were allocated $100. For their budget for the entire year. And they only spent $90. Now, what is the right thing to do for that $10 that they didn't spend? Give it back to the people or roll it over into the next year, right? So you'll get your normal allotment of $100 and you've saved, then you got $110 next year, right? No, what they do is they go out and they blow it. They buy furniture, they buy art, they buy all things for their offices to make sure they blow through your cash so that they get all of their money and their already scripted increase. Your legislature, the government is so damn big, your legislature has written in automatic increases for government no matter how they do their job or how well they do their job. It's all automatic. That's a hell of a way to run a country, isn't it? Can't run a business like that. No matter how much government screws up, it gets your money and then gets automatic raises. Really? Because you have lazy legislators who have allowed this government to get so damn big, it can't be administered and it can't be overseen. That is not America. So the American government now is the biggest threat to us. And right behind them is China. Many of them are doing it at the behest of China. Mike, I'm glad you waited. Welcome to the Salcedo Show, the voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
Well, good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, pal.
Yeah, I think you and Willie, are right. You know, this we're captive slaves to this government, and they're just taking our money. So if you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail. So it's just silly, but...
Well, wait a minute. If your name is Hunter Biden, you have the people investigating you fired, so you don't go to jail.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's a two-tier system, so it's unfair. And but what they're hiding from us on this debt ceiling is the fact they won't discuss government layoffs. That's what they're all hiding about. They're talking about all these little... take a few here and do this and do that, but they don't address the problem to the deficit. The deficit is due to the payroll of the 4 million and government employee workers on the payroll. They can't. They don't have enough tax revenue coming in to pay all these people, and they won't lay them off.
Well, Mike, it's even more insidious than that. A lot of the money that we pay the federal government, a lot of these agencies, a lot of these commissions, a lot of these boards that are inside the federal government do not meet the constitutional limits of government, meaning they're there. They're not supposed to be there. That I would, and this is just a guesstimate, I would say one third of our government, maybe half of the federal government is not constitutionally predicated. It meaning it is not called for. The government is doing things it was never intended to do under the U.S. Constitution. And the American people should understand that. This isn't government's role to police certain things. And what they do by concentrating on all this other leftist socialist crap, they concentrate on that and then they neglect the job they should be doing. And that's right. What infuriates me.
Yeah,
that's what infuriates me.
These are just created jobs to buy votes. Let's talk about this Texas situation where they've taken all of our real estate tax money and they've overtaxed us. They deceived us. They won't refund the money because they're making interest on it. So they're delaying their excuses why they can't get this through. It's silly. Somebody needs to bring a lawsuit against the state of Texas for the deception and the false pretense of which they collected this tax on. They didn't need the money, but they still made us pay it.
Well, so, hey, don't forget, they've got a solution for that in the Texas House as well. Speaker Phelan and his lieutenants like Dustin Burroughs and others, they work to make sure that Communist China and Mother Russia and the People's Republic of Iran and all of other America's enemies can continue to buy land in Texas so that Communist China can pay all those taxes. Of course, they'll be able to spy on our military installations. They'll be able to compromise our food supply. But that's the big idea of the Texas House Republicans. The leadership in the Texas House said, and the Democrats all colluded together to make sure that our foreign enemies could get a foothold in the United States. And that's their solution to all the property tax issues, is just let our foreign enemies in. So just rest assured there, Mike. This was the worst session courtesy of the fraternity known as the Texas House since I've been here in Texas. The worst one. And many of you who are lifelong Texans can't think of a session that was more terrible than this one. And I think you can point the finger at leadership or lack thereof. More of your calls and a couple of more stories before we get out of here for the weekend, folks. The Chris Salcedo Show, The Voice of Texas, and TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
New York City's been overrun with illegals, and Mayor Eric Adams is not pleased. Most of them have come from the great state of Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott has made sure that those crossing the border into his state are sent off to welcoming cities of sanctuary, like New York City. This has led to Adams accusing Abbott of racism, because he said sanctuary cities have black mayors. Okay. And Adams even started doing what he blasted the Texas governor for doing, sending illegals to other cities in New York State. But these are non-sanctuary cities who don't want them there, and lawsuits have been filed against Adams' moves. Adams has also decided to use prisons that have been closed down, like the infamous Rikers Island, and public school gymnasiums to house illegals, the latter causing well-deserved outrage from parents of students and others. He's considered closing off streets to house them, and now the mayor's asking houses of worship to take in these people, 15 or so, and the city will cough up $30,000 per month for their efforts. Folks, I'm telling you, this may be happening in New York City now, but just wait. It'll be coming to your area before you know it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
You never know where a kid pedestrian might appear from. I could run out between two parked cars.
I'll chase my ball into the road. And because we're small, you might not see us until it's too late.
So when you're near schools and playgrounds, make sure you're looking and be ready to stop. Watch out before you take out a pedestrian. A message from the Motor Accident Commission and the Government of South Australia.
Although the government was established to protect the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of the American people, the deep state has been working hard to strip us of any claims to life and liberty. No matter who runs for office, no matter who controls the White House, now or in the future, we the people have already lost. Because the future of this nation is being forged beyond the reach of our laws, elections, and borders by techno-authoritarian powers with no regard for individuality, privacy, or freedom. The Rutherford Institute is deeply committed to protecting the constitutional freedoms of every American and the integral human rights of all people through its extensive legal and educational programs. We provide legal services at no charge to those whose constitutional and human rights have been threatened or violated. It's our job to make the government play by the rules of the Constitution. With your help, we will make America free again. Visit Rutherford.org and kindly donate today. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Chris Salcedo on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, you folks on the Rumble and Getter chats, we will be doing the Friday Jukebox. So those of you curious, we're going to, it's not only do we need it after the week we had, but it's long overdue. So we'll be doing the Jukebox after the main broadcast on KSEV and TNT Radio. Telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Jimmy is holding on the line. Jimmy, welcome.
And good morning, Chris.
Hey, sir.
There's a thing about the budget that most people are missing. It's those people that are working against us is the reason that they won't decrease the budget. Mike brought up the topic about these bloated agencies that won't lay anybody off. These people are in a self-preserving pattern to make sure that they don't get laid off. And then nobody is willing to take the hard choice of changing Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and they're bringing in all of the immigrants and extending the benefits for Medicaid to those.
The illegal aliens, and, not yes. Immigrants, illegal aliens.
Yes, that one. And because immigrants, we welcome.
Right. But, immigrants come in through the front door. Immigrants are legal. Immigrants respect our laws. Illegal aliens just show up to the border and get let in by nefarious and stupid administrations.
Yes, but what they're doing is the Democrats, the breaking of America is intentional, Chris. It's
yes,
not
it
an
is.
Accident.
Yes, it is.
They are spending us into social, economic justice. It's part of their program of destruction of this country.
And Jimmy, can I ask you, I think you're right. Can I ask you a cultural question?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with what Chick-fil-A is doing?
Yes.
You are not, or you are?
I am aware.
Now,
they formed a hold office for diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Diversity, inclusion, and equity, the DIE program, which is killing the West, the DIE
yes.
program.
Yes.
Now, not only that, but
well,
they're...
Well, the left, just so that you know, Chris,
yes.
The left has reversed those letters because the DIE was such an acronym that we latched on immediately. They changed it to DEI.
I know.
They changed it in the last 60 days.
Yes,
but
I know.
We know what it is.
Precisely. And we don't speak the language of the left because they're liars. We tell the truth. So what Chick-fil-A has done is they've abandoned the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christianity, and they've adopted the DIE gospel, diversity, inclusion, equity, which is the new slavery. Now, I pointed this out on the preamble yesterday, that our government sees threats to the American people, whether it be the FBI, the DOJ, what have you, and they fully fund it. When the American people see threats to our people, when we have the power, we defund it. There's a boycott call for a Chick-fil-A. You see what's happening with Bud Light. You see what's happening with North Face. You see what's happening with Target. Doesn't that mean in your mind, Jimmy, that the American people know better than government?
I believe they do, but there are so many that even though they know, they're afraid they're going to be called out by these people on social media, and it's going to destroy their business, it's going to destroy their livelihood. Look what's going on with the pitchers that came up with the MLB, and they're afraid to.
Well, I understand the fear, but isn't it about time that the other side feared too? And I think that's why they're so
stand for Christ.
Well, that's why they're so afraid. That's why they're so afraid of this pushback. Target and Chick-fil-A and all the other woke companies that are losing massive amounts of money. The left wing thought we would roll over and just take it, but when the vast majority of the people use the power that we still have, which is the power of our wallets, now the left is trying to take away that power too, and I think everybody ought to be aware of it. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate the call. I'm not sure where you are, but it sounds pretty busy back there. John, you are the last call for this week. What's on your mind?
Chris, to solve the problem that we are dealing with, you can't just focus on the people that are in government. It's kind of like a garden. You've got a garden overgrown with weeds. You have to pull out the weeds, but you have to spread the weed killer. And the weed killer we have to deal with is our education system. Mm-hmm. Look at Harvard. They just made Whitefoot, de Blasio, and some other idiots professors. Look at City College of New York. I grew up in New York. It was CCNY back then, City College of New York. Now it's City University. It was an outstanding school. You had a fight to get in if you wanted to. But now the idiot head of the law school applauded the idiot who bashed everything that we stand for. And the university said, well, we're thinking of what we need to do to penalize her. Shouldn't have been any question. Fire her. Immediately fire her. And we've got to deal with the universities because they are the ones that are feeding the roots. And once you remove the stuff at the top, there's a lot more coming. So unless you cut it off at the education system, we're just going to go through this over and over and over again.
John, I just want you to aim a little bit, I don't want to say lower. You're in the ballpark. But the education system you need to target is GovEd. GovEd, the worst mistake this country, John, ever made was allowing government to educate our children. And this is why I find the Texas Republican leadership joining with socialists and their betrayal of the parents of Texas to be such an affront. School choice. When the parents don't have control, look at what they do. Look at what these leftists inside of GovEd do. They crank out LGBTQ, ABCDFG cultural Marxists. They crank out brown and black kids who are trained inside of GovEd with our money to hate white people. And they crank out white people who are ashamed of their skin color. Their academics suck. We spend the most per capita for children in education, and we get the bottom of the barrel of the industrialized nations for that investment. So it isn't more money that is the issue. It is those who administer GovEd and those who work to make sure parents have no say. And their names are people like Charlie Guerin, the 23 Republicans who joined him, and I'm sad to say Speaker Phelan, who killed school choice. So the parents will police GovEd if given the power and authority, and they should, because the parents are the ones who should have control over their child's education and not the state. That's a fact. And I have yet to hear a leftist. I have yet to hear a Democrat tell me a compelling reason why parents don't deserve that right. And some of them are actually coming out and saying that our children belong to them, belong to the government, belong to the collective, in true Soviet style. And I think you all ought to oppose that. And I think you all ought to say to all of these leftists inside of GovEd, screw you. And you also ought to vote every single one of those Republicans who voted against school choice. They ought to be voted out of office because they're not looking out for you or your children or their education or America's future. There's a reason why we have so many people, two generations now, who have been indoctrinated to accept communism and socialism. It's all because of GovEd. If we want to start turning this country around, that's where we have to start. Have a great weekend, everybody. You folks on the Rumble and Getter chats, hang tough. I'll be right back with you. We'll do some jukebox. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday.